If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking about relationship resolutions. That's right. It is episode 100.
Wow.
It's a new season of Multiamory.
Cool.
And it's a new year.
So many new things.
Which means New Year's resolutions. This week, we're discussing resolutions that you can make in your relationships for 2017.
Yeah. Hashtag relationship
goals.
Yeah. Speaking of hashtag relationship goals, I took a little tour through Twitter. Because I was curious. Honestly, I've never used that hashtag before, relationship goals.
So you're like, what is it
like,
entail?
What do people think are relationship goals?
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of very Christian ones.
Okay.
Such, my favorite was dance with God and he'll let the right one cut in.
Wow.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people posted pictures of the president and the first lady. Our current president, Obama, and Michelle Obama, just to clarify.
Yeah. The current one as of right now.
Yes, yeah. So a lot of people listed them as relationship goals. A lot of people posting pictures of like their old parents or grandparents saying relationship goals, which is kind of cute. At the same time, you know, kind of assumes that because a relationship lasts long, that means that it's a good relationship. This one I didn't quite understand. Someone said, when you think you are holding your boyfriend's hand sleeping next to you, but it's just your own hand that fell asleep.
So
hashtag relationship goals is that saying like you don't have a boyfriend?
I think that
saying you love yourself. I don't know what it's saying.
It's weird with that hashtag because it makes me think of one of those more like, you know, like that moment when kind of posts. That moment when you think you're holding your boyfriend's hand,
but really it's your own hand that you're holding for some reason. And
but
it's
hashtag
like,
relationship goals is.
I know that's surprising. I don't know what that even
maybe
means.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
This one I like a lot. Mom bought herself a bunch of stuff today and brought it home for Dad to give her for Christmas. I like that
hashtag relationship goals.
I mean, why not? If that's
honey,
the most efficient.
Oh my God, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that something this does bring up, though, that I think is going to be relevant to the rest of our conversation as well, is just this idea that, like, trying to make your relationship like another one is a
that's
goal, that should be a goal. Yeah. And I think there's definitely something to be said for, like, having role models and looking at things other people do that you're like, oh, I'd like to do that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I especially find with parents, this can be a problematic one where they've kind of, for a lot of people, our parents are our only model of like what a romantic
relationship looks like. Yeah.
Right? Like our only example of it really until we start watching TV. And then even then, it's like our only real life example, a lot of the time at least. And anyway, just that like I know a lot of people who will want things in their relationship or feel like relationships should have certain qualities that I might look at and go, I'm not so sure those are like really healthy or good qualities, but they want it because that's what their parents
did. Do you have an example?
I mean, an example that comes to mind is fighting, arguing.
Mm-hmm.
That like, I know that happens sometimes, but like there are some people who like feel like if you're not fighting with your partner, it means you're not passionate and you don't care.
That's interesting. Actually, I have run into people like that who like where it's like there's this romanticized sense of like, well, passionate fights mean it's a passionate relationship.
Right. Sure, yeah.
Or even
sorry to cut in. That's actually something I hated about The Notebook.
Oh, did
like,
they
glorified the fact that they fought all the time. Like that was something that was it was a very short moment, but they were like, yeah, they fought all the time, but they loved each other so much. I really didn't like that.
Yeah.
Well, and then I think like another one would be, you know, maybe this is, well, whatever. Like if the example was you grew up where your mom gave up her career to raise you and your siblings or whatever. And that there are some people who then grow up to think like, oh, well, because my parents did that,
That's what I need to do.
That's what I like. I should have someone who does that, or I should be someone who does that. And that's a hashtag relationship goal.
Yeah, or like you have to emulate or follow everything that your parents did for you for your kids.
And it's I know we kind of like latch on to some things, and then we also latch on to some things we're afraid of becoming.
Oh God, yeah.
And that can be that can be problematic too, though, right? Like you know that whole like attracting the thing that you focus on. And so I think that these exercises about that we're going to talk about going deep and kind of finding out what's really at the core of your relationship and also for yourself can actually help to forge your own way, I guess, like kind of to find out what really matters to you, not just trying to copy the outside appearance of someone else's relationship, but instead to focus on, you know, the feelings of it. So why don't we get into that?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about just New Year's resolutions in the abstract, I don't know. Honestly, it's been quite a while since I've actually made like a concrete New Year's resolution.
No, I made some this year.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to like, at least, I want to be better
with my money this year.
You
made some for 2016 or this for 2017?
No, I made one. Yes, for 2017. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to try like hard to eliminate credit card debt or at least like work very hard to make a big like dent in credit card debt.
I think that's a good one. Yeah. A lot of people will do resolutions around debt or money or savings, things like that.
Yeah, savings for sure.
Obviously, a lot of people do the weight loss thing, you know, getting in shape and being healthier.
The vegan restaurants go crazy this time.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. Like maybe changing their diet, trying new things like that. So I think that when you think about like, well, what kind of resolutions could I have for my relationship? It's a little bit less clear. Other than some people might be like,
abstract.
I would like to have a relationship this year, or maybe I would like to open my relationship this year, or
I want
to maybe I
want
to ask out the person I wanted to ask out for a long time,
or come out.
That's a good one.
But we're going to talk more about having relationship goals for your existing relationships and how to make those ones deeper and better. And
I think a lot of this stuff, though, kind of applies to each individual's romantic life in general, too.
Sure.
So even if you're not in any relationships right now, I think this stuff still applies.
Can apply.
It's definitely stuff worth going through these exercises and thinking about these things. So I guess what we wanted to get to that I kind of hinted at before is that it's about focusing on how you want your relationships to feel for the year. So, you know, something that the Dedeker likes to say is the idea of fluidity over form. That things don't have to be one specific way for you to be happy in it, but that more it's that it can adapt and change as the needs of the people involved change.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I think that approaching things through feelings, at least through these much bigger, broader goals, can help on the individual basis as well. You know, for instance, like, I know for me, like, a way I want to feel is, like, I want to feel like my body is healthy and energetic. And like feels good.
Right.
So that doesn't necessarily mean I need to lose 15 pounds or I need to eat vegan.
Yeah.
Right. It can be a number of things. If I know that that goal is like, well, this is how I want to feel about my body.
Yeah.
Or it could even be a psychological thing about how I, you know, think about my own body.
Or
and
I
stuff
need to
like
get
that.
More sleep or
yes,
something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, and so, so I think the same things can apply to relationships is like focusing on, you know, how do we want our relationship to feel or how do I want to feel in my relationships? Opens you up to this broader goal that's comprised of many different parts and many different possible paths to achieving that goal.
Yeah.
Right. And that gives you the freedom to adapt the way that you're going about these over the course of the year rather than kind of being like, well, shit, I failed on hitting this one specific way it needed to look like, right? Whether it's, you know, some number goal or having that new relationship or something. If instead was like, I want to feel like I can connect with new people, that I, you know, that I have the confidence to do that and that I can open up to new people, that regardless of whether you end up in some sort of long-term relationship by the end of that year, you can still be doing things to accomplish those goals. It could be, you know, embracing more of the relationship anarchy side and deepening your friendships and having more commitment in your friendships.
Sure.
Right? There's, like, a lot of ways that could look.
So, when you're thinking about this, you know, when you're coming together with your partner and trying to think about what kind of resolutions you might want, what kind of feelings, you know, how you want your relationship to feel, I always encourage people to simplify, really. Well, actually, sorry, that's not correct. I encourage people to go super detailed first, and we'll kind of get into that later in the episode about kind of questions you can ask yourself and questions you and your partners can ask together about your feelings and what you want for the relationship. And then taking all that detailed information and trying to cut it down to something super simple that's like your guiding light.
What's a good example of that?
Well, a good example for me, this wasn't something that I picked out as a specific resolution, but more as kind of a general kind of guideline for approaching relationships, which I'm better at sometimes than others. But it was kind of the simple little motto that I picked was trust over fear. So as in kind of trying to come back to that idea of trusting my partner, or partners, you know, trusting that things are going to be good, trusting that people have my best interest in mind, trusting that things are going to turn out for the best rather than for the worst.
That's a great one.
Yeah, you know, and so rather than focusing on like very specific agreements or specific rules or very specific goals, that was kind of my big overarching broad one. I don't know, do you have any other examples that you can think of?
I mean, you know, I think of the, like, the Franklin Vo motto thing of do no harm. That it's kind of like, take all the things you kind of believe in with relationships and all of that and try to distill it down to this simplest thing. Right? So, you know, he talks about, like, the danger of putting rules on other people or about having hierarchies. And, you know, that's kind of his whole, like, platform is about, like, being really ethical and like not trying to limit other people or control them or hurt other relationships for the sake of your own, stuff like that. And that it kind of like, as you simplify that down and find out like what's the recurring theme in all of this, it's do no harm.
I think one that I would have is to break your patterns. Because I know like if a thing that will come up in relationships that I have like occurs over and over again, it's just a pattern that I keep playing, and a lot of times it does kind of go into fear, or, you know, just a worry that I might have. And so if I can, like, continue to focus on that and say, like, hey, I'm doing this again, and let's stop that, then hopefully it leads to better things within the relationship.
I like that one. Because it kind of puts it upon you that, like, once you recognize a pattern, then that's the moment that it's like, okay, like, how do I change it?
And helps you not
like, how do I actually take proactive action to change it? And speaking of, that's actually a good segue, because I know myself, like, the super pragmatic person, I'm like, wait, no, like, where's the actionable steps?
Sure.
Like, I need something practical. I need something tangible, you know, like, yeah, these, like, broad concepts are great, but how do you actually achieve trust over fear? How do you actually achieve breaking your patterns? How do you actually achieve do no harm? And so where that comes in is taking time in your relationship, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 weeks, you know, however long is appropriate to do some kind of check-in with your partner. You know, if you listen to our Agile Scrum episode and that's something that you want to try, like, that's perfect for it. You know, having a Scrum meeting be your monthly check-in. It doesn't have to be Scrum. It can just be some time that you decide once a month to sit down and have an actual talk about, you know, the state of the union, as it were. And that's the time to actually get specific. You know, so maybe like your first Scrum meeting or your first check-in meeting of the year, you're like, okay, we've set our resolution for breaking our patterns, breaking our communication patterns, like our unhealthy communication patterns. And so those are the times when you sit down and be, and then you're like, well, what does that mean? Like, did something happen this month? I noticed that, like, the last time we argued, the same thing happened. We're like, you got angry and I got sad, and then we stormed off, you know? And so what's something that we can try this month that's specific, tangible, actionable to see if we can break that pattern?
That's great.
And so that's how you kind of, you know, if each check-in meeting, you check in with, you know, reminding yourselves of what our resolution was for this year, and then seeing like, well, how are we doing on that so far?
So like the resolution is like a mission statement for that year. It's like, of all the things we're going to talk about in our monthly meetings, like, remember, this is the point of it all. Our goal is to whatever it is for you. And like you're saying, it could be about you know, it could all boil down to like, I want to have excitement in my relationships. Right? So if that's your goal, like when you're doing your monthly meetings, like keep that in mind and be like, how can we keep this exciting? Is it about taking more trips? Like, well, let's try that. Let's for this month, let's do like 2 weekend getaways. So like you do these actionable steps and then you check in the next month and be like, how did we feel? Did that help us with our goal?
Yeah.
Right? Is this serving our overall resolution, our overall, like, mission statement?
Or it could be something where it's like, yeah, we took trips and, like, that was really fun and it was exciting, but I'm actually feeling like maybe that was not actually what I wanted. You know, maybe that will help you clarify and you could possibly change what your relationship goal is or resolution is.
That's true, too. Yeah, that it can change. It's not like you're stuck.
Yeah.
You've signed some contract.
Fluidity.
Being like,
exactly. Overform. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, to use then a different example, like it could be, and I feel like for a lot of people in any kind of relationship, really, is that it could be very reasonable to have a goal of, we want our relationship to feel more secure, right? Like, I want to feel more safe and secure in this relationship. And if that's the case, then it's, again, it's coming to those monthly meetings being like, well, cool, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Is it some sort of intimate activity that we do together, right? Is it some sort of sharing that we do? Is it, let's try, like, doing couples counseling for a month, right? You can do, like, actionable, specific things to instead of just being like, I want to feel better. It's like, feel better. Okay. Right? Because that, like, we all do that kind of stuff, but it doesn't really make those long-term changes.
Yeah, for sure.
So pretty soon we're going to get into kind of, you know, specific questions that you can ask to kind of get closer to what your relationship resolution might be. Just a personal note, or sorry, a first note on a personal level. About personal growth goals.
Yes.
No, we're really getting personal with it.
Yes.
But of course, this is also the time of year to be making personal goals for your own growth or for your own ambitions, whatever it is. We'd actually recommend trying to keep a little bit of space between your personal resolutions and your relationship resolutions.
Or at least not making your partner be the one to hold you accountable to your personal resolutions.
Yeah. Right.
Your accountability buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now this is a challenging one because a lot of people do this and we're kind of taught to do this, right? We see it in TV and couples and sitcoms and stuff there where it's, you know, the wife nagging the husband about the way that he eats. And you notice I use the word nagging because that's what it becomes. That's what it starts to feel like. Yeah. Or, you know, it's the funny show where the guy's always nagging his girlfriend about cleaning up after herself because she's, you know, artsy slob or, you know, whatever it is. It's like that type of being the one who's like constantly trying to get someone to be accountable is a really helpful thing to have, but I don't think it's something that your romantic partner should do.
No. Yeah.
Not if you want it to stay romantic and stay sexual because you know, like, that it's like, oh fuck, I'm like annoyed with you all the time because you're keeping me accountable to this thing. I'm not gonna want to have sex with you, right? Or I'm not gonna want to be sweet
but
with
I think
you.
It doesn't mean that you have to keep your personal goals secret from your partner support. It's just, it's the subtle difference between seeking support versus seeking somebody to be your policeman or your parent or your personal trainer.
And this is something too that helps with regardless of whether you're in a monogamous relationship or a polyamorous relationship, but keeping your independence from your partner. So rather than them having to fill every role in your life, right? The police officer, the friend, the sex partner, the, you know, coach, like therapist, right? Like rather than them being all those things, we should all strive to have other resources for that.
Yeah, regardless.
Whether it's like a men's group or a women's group that you go to that holds you accountable for stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just people in like a social atmosphere where you could be like, hey man, like, you know that I get too drunk at the bar. Can you kind of be the one to like remind me of that when we're out? Rather than that being your girlfriend or your boyfriend being like, no, don't do that. And you're like, fuck you. You know.
Fuck you, I do what I want.
Fuck you, I'm getting drunk tonight.
Oh, and I did want to share a little personal example of this.
Okay.
Is that I was smoking vape at this time, but I was doing that night, and I
was vaping.
This is when I was dating Mochi, and she many times during that would, you know, because she knew that I wanted to quit, but and she would offer like, "Hey, do you want me to hold you accountable to that? Do you want me to be the one to like kind of remind you that you don't want to do that or help limit the number that you have or, you know, something like that?" And every time I kept being like, no, like, because I had already learned this lesson in the past. And it's like, no, I don't want you to be the person who is doing that, who's like stopping me from doing a thing I want to do, right? Because I would rather be happy to see you and excited to hang out with you instead of like feeling like, oh God, now things are going to get hard. So the cool part of this story, though, is that after, like, 2 or 3 months after that, I did end up quitting, and I've still been quit.
Yeah.
But that I didn't need her to do that for me in order for me to accomplish that thing because I wanted to.
Of course.
Because it also kept my own ownership of it. It's like, yeah. All right, I want to do this because I want to do it and not because someone else is telling me to.
Yeah.
So I think that's very valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And really quickly, before we dig into this, you know, setting relationship goals and intentions and resolutions, you know, these don't have to be just for relationships that are really emotionally intense or relationships where you're more entwined or relationships where you're cohabiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these could be for your casual relationships or, you know, if you employ primary secondary hierarchy, these could be for your secondary relationships as well. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, any relationship that's not on the relationship escalator, you can still set some goals and some intentions and resolutions.
Absolutely.
To being really good partners to each other and to taking the relationship in the direction that you guys want to go.
Yeah. The relationship goal doesn't have to be building toward having a home together. Yes. Or, right?
Yeah. Having a child together.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI. So when people are creating resolutions, whether it's for their relationship or for their personal life, most people think about, you know, well, what do I want to have in the next year? Or what do I want to do in the next year? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's I want to travel to a particular location. Maybe I want to set up a savings account and save X amount of dollars. Or maybe I want to be debt free.
Yeah. Right.
But what we want you guys to focus on when thinking about your relationships is more, what do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of person do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and both for yourself and as a relationship. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And that goes along with what we were saying, is if you think about what you want to be and how you want to feel and, like, who you need to be in order to feel that way, that'll help direct then, you know, each month as you're kind of reevaluating, figuring out your little short-term goals, things to try, helps you evaluate what it is you're trying to become.
Mm-hmm. And we want you guys to fortify the relationship from the inside rather than protect it from the outside.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an idea that I've been riding the wave of for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of this idea of how can we make, like, our relationship so strong that we don't feel directly threatened by things happening on the outside.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, kind of the number one antidote to
insecurity.
Yeah, to wanting to apply rules.
Yep.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
To wanting to apply specific rules is this idea, like, how can I make myself feel so strong and confident?
Mm-hmm.
How can I make our relationship so strong and confident that I don't feel the need to be like, oh God, whatever you do, like, you can't fall in love with someone.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you can't spend the night with someone.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes all different forms.
Sure. Yeah.
But so this is a tricky thing, and I do want to talk about this for just a second, is how do you do that, building it up, that strength from the inside? Because I think in a lot of ways, it's something that comes with time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
That, you know, the longer you've known someone, the more you've been through, you kind of have that sense of like, okay, we can get through stuff, yes, right? Yeah. So I feel secure in that.
I mean, I think kindness like begets kindness from your your partners, mm-hmm. and so if you do like an active job of being really like good to them, really giving them encouragement and giving them like a lot of love, that will come back to you, and that always like breeds a lot of it tamps down insecurity, in my opinion.
Just knowing
like being able to be like, hey, my partner loves me, I love them, and like I'm consistently showing this to them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We also have more specific questions to ask as well.
Right. Well, let's get into the questions.
Sure.
So we have like some example questions that maybe you might ask yourself. So some sets of questions to ask yourself and for your partner to ask themselves. As well as some questions for the two of you to ask together.
Yeah. So we'd recommend finding a time, you know, finding a day when you can do this. Maybe some weekend day when you both have a little time. But take a moment to yourself. To each answer these questions on your own, and you know, write them down so you have some notes. You don't need to like write out a big formal thing. Just write it down so you remember it, and then to come together. But let's do the individual questions first.
Let's go
through those.
Okay, so some, and these are examples. You know, you don't have to do all of these.
But you should.
Okay, fine. So you can ask yourself something like, you know, what did I do well in my relationships this year? You know, maybe it's like, well, I feel like I did a good job of communicating even when I'm upset, you know, kind of keeping a cool head even when I'm upset.
Or maybe I halted a lot this year.
Or I did a good job of being really open and affectionate with my partners this year.
Just to clarify, HALT is our acronym from our 5 Ways to Suck Less at Communication PDF and episode.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
So if you're starting to have a fight when you're any of those things, halt, stop.
Don't do it.
Make a time to come back to it later.
Yeah,
those are good ones. The remembering to halt is important. A lot of times it's easy to forget that one.
For sure.
And then kind of on the flip side of it, looking back and saying, well, what could I improve in my relationships this year? What did I suck at in my relationships last year?
And this could be something like, I could improve at being more generous in my relationships, like feeling more encouraging of them finding other romantic partners or other sexual partners or having other sexual experiences or romantic experiences, whatever it is for you that's kind of your place where you could improve. I think that that's a big one for a lot of people. What else?
I really like this next one because I really like the idea of kind of summarizing knowledge. So looking back over the past year and asking yourself, like, what was the main thing that I learned this year just about relationships in general? You know, what is it like, you know, what are the skills that I learned this year that make me just a better human being in relationships? And then also asking, what did I learn about each of my relationships? You know, maybe what did I learn about each of my partners? That's really important to know for the future. And then also, what was the main thing I learned about myself this year?
Yeah, and this could be, you know, being really honest, and maybe I learned about myself that I'm super insecure about this certain area, right? Yeah. Whether it's like my gift buying, because Christmas just happened, and I'm like, wow, I suck at buying gifts.
No, you don't.
Aw, thanks, guys.
Great gifts.
Right, but whatever it is, it can also be something really honest with yourself of like, I've realized that like, you know, I love polyamory and I believe in it, but I have a real hard time with jealousy or whatever it is. Allows you to start moving forward from it of just kind of admitting that. Right? The first step is accepting you have a problem.
The next one is, how do I want my relationships to feel? And I asked Edgar about this one because I was like, what does that even mean? But a good answer, like, you know, do you want your relationship to be exciting? Do you want it to feel spontaneous and, you know, really interesting all the time? Do you want it to feel like safe and secure? And, I don't know, static to that degree. Not necessarily, but...
Like stable, maybe.
Yeah, exactly, stable. Yeah.
But, and this, obviously, you might want a little of all of those things.
Sure.
But in thinking, like, what is it that you wish you had more of, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or what's kind of something that you would like to have to focus on for this year in your relationships? And maybe it is that I want to feel like I have more secure relationships.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Or it could be like, I feel super secure, right?
Yeah, bring it on.
I want excitement.
That,
right?
That leads into the next one, which is asking, you know, in order to have that feeling in relationships, what kind of person would I need to be? And if you think about it, you're like, well, I would really love to have like stable, secure feeling relationships.
I need to be stable and secure myself.
Honestly, sometimes that leads to like, well, that means I also need to work on my own individual stability and security, because that's kind of half of the equation. Or maybe it's like, I need to be someone who's really good at communicating my needs.
And then I would say also with that, I need to be someone who's good at then trusting that my partner is going to follow through after we've talked on things, right? Or trusting that they're doing their best as well. Right? So there's lots of different levels to it.
Definitely.
It's sort of looking at what is it for you that you would need to be to experience that.
And so those, again, those are just some examples.
Right.
So,
but do them all, though.
Yeah.
That is just being too soft here. We're laying down
We want everything.
I know. Jace is the taskmaster around these parts. So, you know, it could be useful to answer those questions and maybe have your partner or, you know, multiple partners answer them as well.
Right.
And then kind of come together, maybe talk about what you came up with. And then you kind of ask some very similar questions, but together. You know, for instance, you know, what did we do well in this particular relationship last year?
This year,
You know?
Yeah, just as a relationship, what did we do that was awesome?
Maybe we were, like, really good at exploratory sex.
That was
the best thing that we did. Or maybe we were really good at handling family conflict, you know, something like that.
And then what could my partner and I do to improve our relationship this year?
Right. So same, like we said before, is kind of, well, you know, maybe we could be better about taking more trips together.
Sure.
Yeah. Or making more like date nights. Right. Something like that.
And again, to echo the individual questions, you know, asking what was the main thing that we learned this year about our relationship.
This is a fun one, because if you look back, you know, if you've been in this relationship for a while, look back to the previous year and this year and be like, huh, you know, we really learned how to avoid this type of fight this year. Like, we really learned a better way of communicating about our favorite ice cream flavors when we go out for dessert. Like,
so specific.
No,
that's
the thing. Though,
I just have to assume that that's a euphemism for some kind of sexual thing.
Jeez, no, I'm talking about ice cream.
Could it be vegan ice cream?
It could be vegan ice cream if you want, yes.
And then what was the main thing we learned this year about our relationship?
No, that was that one.
Never mind.
Do the next one.
How do we want to feel in this relationship? Okay, it's the same thing. I did this one last time, too. So how do we want to feel together? Because I asked this question, I was like, well, what if somebody wants like a lot of trips and spontaneity, and then the other person like doesn't.
Well, yeah, that's the part of the negotiation.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Exactly. Like, you could come with different things, but then also, if we are assuming that you're polyamorous, and I know not everyone that listens to this podcast is, but if you are, then you could, for your individual one, say, I want my relationships in general to feel more exciting. Say, it's like, I want them to be exciting and spontaneous. But then, in each of your relationships, there might be one where this relationship, though, our goal is to make this feel more secure.
Sure.
Maybe because this is already your adventurous one, or maybe this is the one that you want to kind of be your secure thing to come back to. You know, whatever it is, there's different ways that could look. But so this answer could be different for you as a relationship than it is for you individually. But hopefully those would help complement each other.
And then finally, what kind of people do we need to be in order to have that?
So it's kind of that same sort of question. And then, like Dedeker was saying, take these things and try to distill them down. Try to simplify them to, like, what's at the core of this? What's at the heart of this?
And I like that idea, especially if you're doing a scrum each month or even just, like, a monthly meeting about your relationships, like, keeping that as the overarching theme and being able to say, like, okay, are we making progress towards that goal or that feeling that we want in this relationship each month? Yeah.
Exactly.
We should develop this into like a little worksheet or something.
Yeah, I think
that's
that
a good
will.
One. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Well, I can't promise that we'll have a worksheet ready to go for you guys by the time this episode comes out, but...
We'll try.
But we might.
Try. Yeah.
If we do, it'll be in the lesson notes.
Yes.
Yes.
In the lesson notes.
The syllabi.
In the syllabus.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, all right. We would love to hear from you if you have any cool relationship goals or things that you accomplished from last year that you're really proud of.
Yeah.
Or any other cool resolution tricks. We love this kind of stuff. We love to hear from you. If you want to share that with us, you can email us at info@multiamory.com. You can tweet at us at multiamory. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram. You just search multiamory in all those places and you'll find us. We really do read every message and every comment and every tweet that we get, and usually we'll then text each other and be like, hey, did you see that thing? Like, oh, what did you think? Like, why don't you reply to that and say this thing? Well, we put a lot of thought into all of it because it means a lot to us. So thank you so much for that. And share with us how it's been going for you. And if you want to do that in our Patreon group, we definitely recommend becoming a patron on Patreon to join the Facebook group or the online video discussion group where we can get even more into the nitty-gritties of this and talk about the specifics of your relationships and help support other people.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.